Southeast Radio's Morning Mix.
Let's get the view on this and other issues. The main issue is the United Nations Human Rights Council is poised to discuss a proposed resolution advocating for an arms embargo on Israel, but I'm joined by the Labour Party spokesperson on foreign affairs, Brendan Howland TD. Good morning to you, Brendan.
Good morning, Alan, and good morning again to your listeners.
Brendan, we'll get on to that arms embargo proposal in just a second, but I know you too would like to share your views on what's unfolding in relation to the rail services between County Wexford and Dublin. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think we were all shocked at the coverage 48 hours ago now that suggested that the rail link between Rosslare Europort and Dublin would cease altogether, and that it would go as far as either Greystone or Wicklow Town, and then people would decant onto a commuter system, a DART train, from that point. And I think most of us regarded that as completely unacceptable. We've had direct rail links on that route since before the foundation of the state. And in a time when we want to increase the volume of rail traffic and the number of people using it, it seems like a daft solution. I must say, listening to Peter, I think he's spoken a rock of sense in terms of what might happen. Now, I have been in touch in the last 48 hours, obviously with the NTA directly and with Irish Rail directly. I'm still waiting response from Jim Mead in Irish Rail, but I've spoken at length yesterday to a spokesperson for the NTA, and they seem to have the wrong end of the stick, because they were arguing with me yesterday that yes, it would be a much improved service if it terminated in either Greystones in the short term, and then after the completion of the DART to Wicklow Town would terminate there for all services.
Yeah.
If, as I understood it to be, because I spoke also with Jim Mead in Rosslare Europort when he was down for the works that were going on there, which obviously is also an Irish Rail responsibility, and you'd imagine that he'd be interested in ensuring connectivity with the Europort, that additional hourly trains were envisaged, not replacing the direct connections that we have, but additionality. So I think Peter's view that additional services, keep the ones we have, all the way from Rosslare Europort to Connolly in Dublin, but supplement that with further maybe hourly trains that bring you as far as the DART stations as they are developed.
Yeah.
That would supplement it. But for those who want to travel, you know, book a seat, get a cup of tea, bring luggage if they're going to Dublin for a long stay, travel with buggies and so on, the notion of shuffling off an intercity train and onto a standing only, often, DART service is totally unacceptable, and it is not the sort of intercity service that we expect.
Certainly getting a lot of reaction today on the programme, and thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. And again, we put it out to our Morning Mix listeners to share their thoughts as well in relation to this. Pick up the phone, give Mary Ann a call at 053 914 5222. On to what I mentioned at the start of the show, Brendan. The United Nations Human Rights Council is poised to discuss a proposed resolution advocating for an arms embargo on Israel. Pakistan, representing 55 out of 56 member states in the Organisation of Islamic Cooperation, have submitted the draft resolution. Is this likely to happen?
I think it is. The Human Rights Council is probably the second most important subset of the General Assembly. The General Assembly obviously is every nation in the UN. The Security Council is one of the standing councils below that that reports directly to the General Assembly, and the UN Human Rights Council is another. It has 47 members elected on a regional basis. And I think there is every likelihood tomorrow that they will vote in favour of the proposal of Pakistan on behalf of a number of other countries, as you've said, for a formal arms embargo on Israel, which I think is a very significant step. It will be the first time that the UN itself, in terms of the human rights body, the most important human rights body, makes such a declaration.
Mm-hmm. We have a comment from a listener. First of all, stop American arms, Israeli bound through Shannon Airport. If Ireland doesn't stop, then they are just as guilty as America. That's an interesting comment, Brendan. Can you respond?
Yeah, well, I mean, we shouldn't be allowing any arms through Shannon Airport. It's something that if it is happening, it should be stopped immediately, and it's something certainly I can question the Minister for Defence in relation to, and the Minister for Transport too. As you know, the US is by far the biggest supplier of arms to Israel. Two-thirds of its arms are given by or sold by the United States, and in truth, if the United States just simply stopped supplying arms,
right,
the carnage that is underway in Gaza would soon cease. I think that a lot of countries, some have bilaterally decided not to continue with any arms supply to Israel, countries like Spain, countries like Belgium. But I think it is important that in the light of the requirement of all countries in the world that are parties to the Genocide Convention, and the decision of the International Court of Justice that there is a potential for genocide to be happening right now, I think most of us would see genocide happening right now with our eyes daily, and famine now looming, it is a legal requirement under the Genocide Convention. It's an obligation on states to prevent the crime of genocide. Now, obviously, that will include an obligation, in my judgment, on any states that are supplying arms to Israel to stop, but also anybody who's providing any material support in any form to Israel in this time of war is, in my judgment, complicit in the crime of genocide, which is contrary to international law and is punishable. All states are required, as I say, to act against either governments, officials, or even private individuals who may be complicit in the crime of genocide. And it is also interesting that this week 600 senior judges and lawyers in Britain have written to the Prime Minister in the United Kingdom saying exactly that. And these include three former Supreme Court judges who say that the supply of arms by Britain, for example, and they don't supply an awful lot, but they supply some to Israel, makes it risky for the individuals, including the government members who support it, that they could be complicit in the crime of genocide. And these are some of the most senior judicial figures in the United Kingdom. So I think there is a growing pressure now as the world sees what is unfolding to stop this horror.
Thank you for taking our call this morning. Good morning to you. That was the Labour Party spokesperson on foreign affairs, Brendan Howland. I want to revisit another talking point that popped up last week on the show. We heard about concerns about after-school care for up to 60 parents and their children as a facility was closing down and moving out of Wexford. We heard from Leonard Kelly at that particular time. We also heard from Danielle. I'm joined by Leonard Kelly now because there is some good news on this particular after-child care front, which is in the Wexford area. Good morning, Leonard.
Alan, good morning. Good morning, listeners.
Just to remind our Morning Mix listeners what we've been discussing on this particular issue. It was a couple of weeks ago now, but it got quite a lot of reaction. Just give us an update, please, Leonard.
Yeah, just before the Easter holidays, parents who were using the Sunny Days after-school service in Skulwarra and Coolcots were informed by the provider that they would unfortunately be shutting down the service. Now, that is something, what that meant was up to 60 parents and some families were impacted by that change. The change happened, it was something they decided had to happen as, from an economic point of view, as a result of a TUSLA inspection that happened that was recommending changes to their work rosters and in terms of staffing levels. So they just decided from their point of view, it just wasn't going to work. So they decided they were going to pull out. So you can obviously understand the amount of worry that caused to the parents and to the families involved.
So what's been happening since then?
A lot has been happening since then, Alan. This is a lovely example of almost a community coming together to ensure that we get a result. So I was talking to yourself on the radio here. We were in the paper about this. Parents were working behind the scenes, reaching out to providers that they may have known. One particular provider did come on board or expressed an interest in there, called Sherpa Kids. So contact was made between themselves and the school. And following on from discussions and expressions of interest from parents, they have now they have now decided that they will provide an after school and a before school service in Schoolwara in Coolcots. So it's a really good result. And in fairness to the previous providers, it seems that they have also assisted in, we'll say, an orderly transition. Tusla, I reached out to the early childhood providers, the Federation of Early Childhood Providers, and they're assisting with the Tulsa piece in terms of getting registration. So we're very hopeful. It's not 100% over the line, but we're very hopeful that the service will still begin on Monday, so there will be full continuity. Two of the previous staff from Sunny Days will be taken on board by the new provider. So again, even from the children's point of view, it's going to look very familiar to them still. Even though there's a new provider, it still should be something that's very familiar. So a lot of moving parts came together to make it work.
And just to remind people again about the number of people who are caught up in this, there were 60 families affected by this, weren't there?
Up to 60, Alan. And this is, as I would have mentioned to you previously, for me, this is part of a much bigger picture. It is that piece of, to ensure that as a society that we function correctly, we need to ensure that there is proper childcare provided. Now, I'm not saying that the private providers aren't. They are giving that. But that the state needs to ensure that things like this can't happen. Whether that is that the state comes in with proper state childcare, or that there's closer alignment between Tusla and providers, that they know what is required of them. And if any changes are required, that those changes are flagged well in advance. Now, just again to reiterate, nothing here was in relation to child safety or protection. This was to do with staffing levels and rosters. So, you know, it's something that I would hate to see this ever happening again. We just need to look at it as a sector, because the result of this, if we hadn't managed to get this over the line, would have meant that some families or some parents may have had to either take unpaid leave, may have had to actually maybe quit their jobs. So for me, we all know that work is a great route for progression for all of us. We have to ensure that it's there for everybody. Sorry, Anne, just before I go, if I can just mention in relation to the announced proposal yesterday for the changing of the train service from Wexford to Dublin. This is something I want to really make it clear that I absolutely would be against such changes. I'm somebody, anytime I would work in Dublin, I would use that train. I believe that that's an essential service that has been growing over the last number of years. But for the NTA to suggest that they would make this change, which for me seems very Dublin-centric, Alan. It's something that is to facilitate those around the Greystones or the Greater Dublin area, as opposed to those in Wexford. If they make this change, I believe that this could end up killing off this service. If they're expecting people in that wild and wintry day to get off the train to change trains in Greystones or somewhere in Wicklow to continue to Dublin, I truly believe a lot of people will either choose to go back into their cars or to take the bus. And for me, we need to protect this service. We need to build it. We need to look at proper investment in terms of maybe getting faster trains and more trains from Wexford.
Independent Councillor Leonard Kelly predominantly looking at the situation with childcare facilities, but also adding his weight to the major concerns over the rail line between Dublin and Wexford. Now, our comment line is open to you, 053 914 5222. And one of the talking points yesterday was Dennis, and it's up on our social media postings as well, where he called for people who are on social welfare long.
Southeast Radio's Morning Mix.